This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. Worldwide, the number of people who have died from the COVID-19 virus is shy of 100,000, with about 1.6 million confirmed infections. The U.S. has more than 16,000 deaths and about a third of the number of the worldwide infections. With the federal stockpile drained of protective gear, states are turning to one another, private industries, and anyone who can donate in a desperate bid to get respirators, gloves, and other supplies to doctors, nurses, and other frontline workers. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services confirmed Wednesday that the federal cupboard is officially bare, at least through this month, after it was able to fulfill just a sliver of states' request. States already have begun working together, whether it's by forming regional alliances to create greater purchasing power or sending excess supplies to hotspots. Tentative signs of hope emerged Thursday that the coronavirus pandemic was peaking as the European Union sealed a rescue package to help the hard-hit continent. With the death toll passing 94,000 at the point, there remained plenty of grim news, with the IMF warning that the world was dipping into a new Great Depression and new data, but hospitalizations dropped in several countries. The United Nations Secretary General is warning that the coronavirus pandemic is threatening international peace and security. Antonio Guterres warned the UN Security Council this can potentially lead to an increase in social unrest and violence that would greatly undermine the ability to fight the disease. The Council is the UN's most powerful body, and it has been silent on the COVID-19 since it started circling the globe in January, but after Thursday's meeting, the Council issued its first brief press statement. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. A staggering 16.8 million Americans have been thrown onto the unemployment rolls in just 3 weeks, underscoring the terrifying speed with which the coronavirus outbreak has brought world economies to a near standstill. China on Friday reported 42 new coronavirus cases, 38 of them imported, along with one additional death in the hardest-hit city of Wuhan. Another 1,169 suspected cases, or those who tested positive but were not showing symptoms, were being monitored under isolation. China now has reported a total of 81,907 cases and 3,336 deaths from the virus as of Thursday. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been moved out of intensive care, where he was able to be treated for the new coronavirus, as his government told Britons to prepare for several more weeks in lockdown. In a statement Thursday, his office said that he's been moved from the intensive care back to the ward, where he will receive close monitoring during the early phase of his recovery. It said he was in an extremely good spirits. Johnson had been in intensive care for 3 days after his symptoms worsened. The news of Johnson's improving condition was welcomed across the British political spectrum and by U.S. President Donald Trump. California has seen its first daily decrease in intensive care hospitalizations during the coronavirus outbreak. Governor Gavin Newsom said Thursday that the number of ICU placements declined by 1.9% Wednesday. He said the decline was encouraging, but he urged people not to read too much into it. Newsom has said the number of ICU hospitalizations is a key indicator for how many health care workers and medical supplies the state needs. Newsom also said that California hospitals are only using about one-third of their ventilators. He said that about 8,000 ventilators are available. California has more than 19,000 cases. Presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden is joining a growing call for the release of comprehensive racial data on coronavirus pandemics, which he says has put a spotlight on inequity and the impact of structural racism. Biden's Medium post on Thursday said he is joining Democratic congressional members Ayanna Pressley, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, and others who have been calling for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and other agencies to release more data. Biden said he wants data released on income as well to better help allocate resources to communities in need. Find more at voanews.com. Again, voanews.com via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Friday, April 10th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Botswana's president and the National Assembly members are quarantined after COVID-19 contact.
We've complained about this self-isolation and self-quarantine. People in self-quarantine have no discipline, have to test soon. So why are you still recommending self-quarantine?
Top Ugandan officials are arrested in COVID-19 purchasing scandal. Kenya appeals for international support to mitigate COVID-19. Zambia's government is asked to rescind its decision to revoke a television station's license. And Malawi's Electoral Commission plans July election despite coronavirus.
We are a government, and as a government, we have got a duty to protect our citizens. We are fighting the virus. You cannot subject your citizens to hazardous situations just because you want an election.
And Cameroon separatist fighters relaunched attacks after the government announced a reconstruction plan. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. A special Botswana parliamentary session called to discuss an extension of a state of emergency ended with all National Assembly members and the country's president being quarantined. All had contact with an infected health worker. Mkunduse Dube reports from Habaruni.
President Mokgweetsi Masisi had called a special session of parliament to deliberate on extending a state of emergency. The 65-member National Assembly, where President Masisi's ruling Botswana Democratic Party is in the majority, voted in favor of an extended period. The state of emergency meant to fight COVID-19 will now last until October. But members of the National Assembly, during the sitting, had come into contact with a health worker suspected of carrying the disease. The nurse was on duty in Parliament, conducting coronavirus screenings, reportedly while awaiting test results on herself. She later tested positive. Now all National Assembly members will be required to be quarantined for 14 days. National Assembly Speaker Pandu Skelemani said health workers will determine if members are quarantined at home or moved to designated centers.
Aware that Mawutuwa has requested that you complete some form to show where that Mawutuwa has requested that you complete some form to show where you are going so that they can go and see whether you should be quarantined there or be moved to some other suitable place.
Opposition parliamentarian Neva Tsabang condemned the decision to allow the health worker to screen members while she was awaiting results of a coronavirus test.
If you tell me that a nurse who was exposed in a high-risk area before the results are released is deployed to some assignment where there's a lot of people before the results are released, the danger continues. So this virus exploits lapses in the system.
Tsabang also criticized the decision to give members of the National Assembly the option to self-quarantine.
We've complained about this self-isolation and self-quarantine. People in self-quarantine have no discipline, have to test soon. So why are you still recommending self-quarantine? This is a lapse in the system.
Meanwhile, Botswana's Minister of Health, Dr. Lemogang Kwabe, told the National Assembly the country's coronavirus cases now stand at 13. 7 more cases were reported on Thursday, with one death recorded in the Southern African country. Mkondisi Dube for VOA News, Habaruni.
Four top Ugandan government officials were arrested on Thursday following reports they inflated COVID-19 relief food prices. Analysts say the government's swift response shows the importance it has attached to the crisis. Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
The defendants worked in the office of Prime Minister Ruhakana Rugunda and ran a program to provide food relief for the most vulnerable amid the coronavirus pandemic. They were arrested for causing government losses in excess of $528,000. On Thursday, The head of the anti-corruption unit in the State House, Lieutenant Colonel Edith Nakalima, said she received a directive from President Yoweri Museveni to investigate the way the program was being run.
We have some clear evidence of the well-known, able and credible suppliers who offered lower prices, and the accounting officers in OPM rejected and instead took on the higher ones. Some of the people who were given offers to supply are even not pre-qualified, and that's the president's concern.
Government officials arrested include Permanent Secretary Christine Batundechintu and Accounting Officer Joel Wanjala, Assistant Procurement Commissioner Fred Lutimba, and Martin Owor, head of COVID-19 relief management. They were taken into custody. Officials in the office of the Prime Minister are no strangers to corruption and embezzlement of both government and donor funds. Economic analyst Fred Mhumza notes that while the bad record continues, the president's swift move shows he has made addressing the situation a priority.
We knew this scandal would come out later on in the year. For it to happen now means there is some expedience in the president's office in dealing with corruption. Gone are the days when you just buy food and you think the price is not known by other people, which has been used as evidence. Because I imagine those days it would be a very secret process.
Uganda, which has 53 confirmed cases of COVID-19, is currently on a two-week lockdown to help curb the further spread of the infection caused by the coronavirus. The officials are being held by the Criminal Investigations Department. They will be charged with abuse of office through an arbitrary act prejudicial to the interest of their employer, causing financial loss and facilitating fraudulent accounting and conspiring to commit fraud. A conviction fetches at least 5 years in prison. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
The Kenyan government has requested support from the United Nations and other diplomatic agencies to help mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Speaking in a teleconference, the United Nations Resident Coordinator Siddharth Chatterjee said the UN is ready to help the Kenyan government manage the virus. Maureen Ojiambo reports. From Nairobi.
In the letter dated 3rd April 2020, the government of Kenya through Treasury requested the United Nations to help in mobilizing resources to aid Kenya combat COVID-19. The United Nations Resident Coordinator, Siddharth Chatterjee, assured Kenyans that the UN agencies are in solidarity with Kenyans in the fight against COVID-19 that is terrorizing the whole world.
We are not walking away from this important responsibility. And in that, we were able to identify $45 million to support the government of Kenya's COVID response.
The World Health Organization has always warned on the increasing number of COVID-19 cases in African countries as Kenyan statistics increase day by day. As by yesterday, Thursday, Kenya had recorded 184 COVID-19 positive cases. Chief Administrative Secretary from Kenya's Ministry of Health, Rashid Amani, urge the UN to help in providing adequate testing kits, and that currently Kenya has inadequate facilities.
And I'm sure that we are all aware the measures that the government has taken to try to address these shortages. We continue to experience some level of constraints in the areas of other supplies, such as the testing materials. We need to look at the capacity of our health systems to be able to handle the more intensive case management cases.
Swedish Ambassador to Kenya, Anna Jadfelt, has offered her support to Kenya, especially in dealing with domestic violence, which she says is on the rise during the pandemic.
$10 million from Sweden are going directly into this UN appeal. And one of the priority areas is GBV, that we have heard the importance of today already. But I also to try to go in and supporting the psychosocial situation for many people that many people are living through today.
Already, Kenya is struggling with the cases it has and few hundreds of people that are in mandatory quarantine who are complaining of poor hygiene. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Friday, April 10. Malawi's Electoral Commission, also known as MEG, says it is pushing ahead with voter registration for the July 2nd presidential election rerun, despite a government order suspension because of coronavirus. Malawi has so far confirmed 8 cases of the virus and 1 death. Health officials are concerned that gathering large groups of people for registration and voting could easily spread the virus. But the Elections Commission says only it has the authority to halt the election process. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Malawi's Election Commission says there is no plan to stop voter registration over coronavirus concerns. MEC spokesman Sangwani Mafulilwa on Wednesday said there were adequate measures in place to prevent infections in registration centers.
For example, those that are coming for registration, they are observing the social distance. Fortunately, this time around, our biometric voter registration system is efficient so that we are not having queues in voter registration centers.
Mafulilwa said all MEC staff wear protective equipment such as face masks, and that hand sanitizers, soap, and water are provided for the public. Health officials criticized going ahead with the election process at a time when they are trying to check the spread of coronavirus. Health Minister Japi Muhango says up to 50,000 Malawians could die from the disease if not enough action is taken to stop the virus. Muhango, who also chairs a cabinet-level committee on coronavirus, on Tuesday announced voter registration would be suspended.
What we are saying is you can only have an election where people are enjoying good health. We are a government, and as a government, we have got a duty to protect our citizens. We are fighting the virus. This is war. You cannot subject your citizens to hazardous situations just because you want an election.
However, they make argues only it or the courts can halt the election. Opposition parties, whose court case saw last year's election results overturned in February, have been pushing for the election to go ahead despite the risk. United Transformation Movement Party President Saulos Chilima made his argument Wednesday during a televised press conference. He said the group that was talking about the suspension of the electoral process was lying. That is because the laws of Malawi do not allow them to suspend the registration process, he argued. What I know, said Chilima, is that the exercise is still on, and I urge people to go and register. But health rights groups say allowing voters to gather for registration and polling contradicts key coronavirus prevention measures. Malawi's Constitutional Court nullified last year's presidential election, citing massive irregularities in the re-election of President Peter Mutharika. The court ordered fresh polls by July 3. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
The Zambian Institute of Independent Media Institution is calling on the government to rescind the revocation of Prime Television's license. The license was cancelled after Prime Television, a popular independent television station, reportedly refused to broadcast for free public service campaign advertisements from the government. The campaign forms part of the government's efforts to curb the spread of the coronavirus. But Jubil Zulu, vice president for the Zambian Institute of Independent Media Association, tells viewers Peter Clotty that the revocation of Prime Television's license is an affront to the tenets of democracy and a contravention of the Constitution.
As Zima, we are shocked. The action by government is an injury to the democracy that this country has been having since its independence. They have shown that they have appetite to cripple any media that will entertain divergent views. The next thing to happen is total shutdown of the internet, because any criticism in Zambia now is an offense. We are saddened.
I understand the station has about 30 days to appeal to the information minister to have their revocation reconsidered by the ministry. But some are suggesting that they refuse to add something that will be of interest to the whole country, to save lives, to educate the masses, which is one of its duties as a station and one of the requirements upon which the license was granted to them. What is your reaction to that?
So the Zambia Independent Broadcasters Association is a media body that comprises of different broadcast stations that had a position that government must pay a minimum fee. But since government had a bond to chew with one station instead, they went on this one station, which is critical. Prime TV belongs to this association that I've talked about, and the decision was not solely Prime TV, but Ziwa as the Zambia Independent Broadcasters Association. So the appeal is a mockery because the minister sits on the IBA board, and it's more like appealing to the same person closing you down.
What recourse does Prime TV have at the moment? Because I understand most of their workers have been driven out of the station by the police or security agencies to have them go back home. Some people saw them being driven in buses because there's no work to do. What can they do next as a member of your group?
So all media houses, be it they might be community or mainstream, print, broadcast, online, private, public houses, they have a role to play in supporting the achievement of Zambia's national development priorities. At a time as this one, when the country is putting maximum efforts to address the coronavirus or COVID-19, which is a public health emergency, the country needs a diverse ally of media to provide timely and relevant information to a wider section of the Zambian populace that will enable timely informed decision and appropriate actions. So currently, what we are saying is that we urge our media personnel not to rush into any decision, but they should remain calm and also hope that an amicable way will be found during this time.
Jubil Zulu is Vice President for the Zambia Institute of Independent Media Association. You're speaking with viewers Peter Clotte. Cameroonian separatist fighters have relaunched attacks after the government announced a reconstruction plan claiming that peace was returning to the English-speaking northwest and southwest regions of the country. The military said attacks were reported in at least 7 villages, with about 13 fighters killed. But the fighters say the military had more casualties. Moki Edwin Kizeka reports from Yaoundé.
Jean-Claude Tila, the top government official in Fundi Division, the administrative unit where Yaoundé is located, says he was appalled to learn that people who have been isolated in hotels on suspicion of being carriers of COVID-19 are receiving nocturnal visitors. Tila says he ordered the arrest of 50 prostitutes as well as 13 women and 6 men who sneaked into hotels to meet their spouses.
We discovered that people put in quarantine were conniving with hotel agents to smuggle women into the hotel to sleep with them. We have arrested some of them. We have to work together to stop this virus.
Tila said he ordered all of the arrested persons to be put in isolation while the police have been instructed to find unauthorized hotel visitors who have been on the run. Authorities in Cameroon recently isolated more than 500 citizens and 70 foreigners in an attempt to stop the spread of the coronavirus. All of those quarantined flew into the Central African state on March 17th and 18th, before the government closed the borders and suspended issuance of visas until further notice. However, 150 of those quarantined escaped from their hotels. The government is searching for them, as well as another 186 people who returned home from France and Italy on March 17 and refused to be isolated. Despite government warnings, officials say a majority of Cameroonians are not taking coronavirus seriously, and authorities are taking steps to enforce social distancing rules. Troops have shut down stores for allowing in too many customers, closed markets for not respecting hygiene norms and stopped buses that carried too many passengers. Close to 400 taxis were ordered off the road in Yaoundé alone for transporting more than the maximum 3 passengers per vehicle. Taxi drivers' union leader Ernest Vela says drivers will respect the restrictions if the government gives them subsidies, increased taxi fares, or reduced fuel prices.
They did not reduce price for fuel. We are struggling. Things are not really moving. We are unable to make it. It is more than us. When you put fuel of 10,000, you are unable to walk 3,000.
Cameroon's first case of COVID-19 was confirmed on February 9. Since then, confirmed cases have increased to 139, with 6 deaths reported. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
For Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you, James. We begin the sports with the latest FIFA world rankings released on Thursday. Due to the lack of international action in March, there was just a single change to the entire 210-country list. The only movement on the list saw South Sudan move up one place to number 168, level in that position with Bermuda. The Teranga Lions of Senegal remained at the summit of African football, followed by Tunisia in second place. The Super Eagles of Nigeria retained their 31st position in the world and third in Africa, while Algeria and Morocco occupy fourth and fifth positions in the continent respectively. Belgium sits on top of the global rankings ahead of world champions France, Brazil, England and Uruguay. Staying with football news, the Egyptian FA have announced that the suspension of all football-related activities will be extended for a further 2 weeks. Egyptian Prime Minister Mustafa Madbouly announced on Thursday that the enforced curfew will remain for another 2 weeks and will be from 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. As a result, the EFA decided to play their part in helping the containment of the virus and decided to extend the suspension of all domestic footballing events until the end of April. This is the second extension Egypt's football governing body has made, as it was previously decided that league games will return by April the 15th. In Ghana, Ghanaian international Kwame Bonsu has begun training with his fellow foreign players at Tunisian side Esperance de Tunis, despite being in lockdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. As players of Esperance continue to stay at home in waiting for the COVID-19 stump to pass, the technical handlers have developed a plan for players to train while in isolation. Former Kotoko defense midfielder Kwame Bonsu has been made to join his fellow foreign players at the club to train in the small group. In athletics news, due to prevailing COVID-19 pandemic, World Athletics has postponed the bidding processes for the 2023 World Athletics Series events. The World Athletics governing body said on its website that the bidding processes for the 2023 World Athletics Cross-Country Championships and the 2023 World Athletics Relays will now be open in November 2020. Kenyan marathoner and world record holder Eliud Kipchoge threw his weight behind the decision to postpone this year's Olympic Games. He says he's maintaining his fitness as he anticipates the Games to be held in 2021. Additionally, Eliud Kipchoge is urging people to follow the laid out regulations to prevent the spread of the deadly coronavirus. And that's it on Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good weekend. That's it for this Friday, April 10th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Butte in Washington, hoping you will have a very good weekend.
Hello, Africa. This is Peter Clott, host of the VOA's Africa Weekend Show, Nightline Africa. Tune in. You will be glad you did.
Nightline Africa is a fast-paced, tightly edited news show designed to keep our listeners engaged from beginning to end. Nightline comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo, and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all.